Alright, here we go.
Yeah.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
That's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
I like sweet meat. It's a juxtaposition in my mouth. I like it. Yeah. Like heat.
So you got her pregnant, huh?
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll make it bad. For the stream, then go to like the DLNGS.org. And Odyssey Channel is a LinuxTech.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1090 of the Link Sling Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
All right. So, I have a question. I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this, Joe. You don't use Slack, do you?
No.
Okay.
I unfortunately do.
Yes, and you are pretty... Your company is really invested in Slack, which we know.
Yes, we are.
Now, here's my question. What I have noticed in about the past 6 months, it seems to be a problem. And it's not just with Slack, but Slack is the main one it happens to. Like, it seems like every couple of weeks I go to start Slack up, and it tells me the application is damaged and needs to be moved into the trash. And I find that very odd. Now, so we have the company's preferred way of installing applications is through the Jamf self-service.
Right.
And they have Slack on there. And I'm trying to remember whether this happens to the Slack that I install through self-service at some point, or
via their website.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this last time I installed it through the self-service.
See, we switched from Jamf to Workspace One, and okay. It even will control when you can update the OS. You know, now I am on Sequoia, but they released earlier this week. They released updates on everything on iOS and iPadOS and the Mac. And while my iPad's owned by me, but my iPhone is also in Workspace One. But the phone let me upgrade it right away, but my Mac, it did not. So, but it did like a day later. It finally let me do that. But we use Workspace One. I think it's a little bit more professional compared to Jamf Connect, but Jamf Connect's been around for like ever. So, you know, I don't know why it would be any different installing it from Jamf or from the website.
No, that's what I wonder too. And so it hasn't only been Slack, but Slack has been like the big one that's always have this problem right. On a fairly regular basis. I've had it happen on other applications. And I think that it is piss poor user experience if the reason behind this
for Jamf, yeah.
Well, no, not just Jamf. Like, I've had this happen on some other applications. I think it was Rancher Desktop I was using. That wasn't installed through Jamf. And it was reporting similar, like, you can't use this application. It's damaged and must be deleted. I think if OS X, if there's an OS X update that then puts some kind of security measure in there that you have to then update the applications to provide the message that this application is damaged and must be deleted is a piss poor user experience, I think. Like, if they would come out and say, hey, this application's out of date and a security risk, we're not going to let you run it, please install a newer version, you know, then maybe I would be a little more respectful of that message instead of infuriated and frustrated that for some reason, without me doing anything, these applications just keep getting damaged. Somehow mysteriously, like, they just get damaged and they can't run anymore. That makes absolutely no sense.
I've never had that happen, but...
Well, keep an eye out for it. I you know what I've never had that happen on? I've never had it happen on Linux. Now, sometimes if you do an update and you're running an application that's not necessarily included by your distribution's package management system, and you try and run it, and it can come back and tell you, I can't find this or that library, and it won't run. But I've never had it come back and tell me this application is damaged and must be deleted. Kind of frustrating. I don't like it. I don't like that kind of
user
experience.
I get this weird thing every once in a while where all of a sudden I'll lose network connectivity altogether, and I'm not exactly sure what it is, but usually a reboot fixes it, and I shouldn't have to do that. Now, granted, I'm plugged into a USB-C or Thunderbolt dock, actually, all the time. That's how I keep my laptop charged up. Plus, that has a hard wire on it. Since since Apple can't be arsed to put a freaking Ethernet jack right on the system. But I digress.
Does it have to make it thicker then?
Well, it's thick enough that they could sneak one in. I mean, one have it?
Dongle life.
Yeah.
Dongle.
Don't get me started. Because I'm seriously considering here soon for a personal machine, a MacBook Air, one of the new ones. And it's just all USB-C everything, which so that is a dongle life. But, that doesn't really bother me that much.
It should bother you that you're buying a MacBook with your own money.
No, because I want something that runs better than Windows, and I'm tired of buying a Windows. Cause you got to remember, I want to run Creative Cloud, all right? I don't really have too many options there. It's either Mac OS or it's Windows. So, and now technically I could get a Snapdragon based Windows machine if I wanted to. But I'm looking for something thinner and that runs cooler and something that's lighter. So that's kind of where I'm going.
So will you have any machines that run Linux?
Yeah, the one I'm on right now, which is my old yoga book. Technically, I have others too. My Pi too. I just can't live in Linux all the time, as much as I want to, because Adobe's being an asshole. But and I have tried. I go back every once in a while. I'll try Darktable. I just haven't been happy with that. Because I could probably step back to the photo only package because I haven't really edited too many videos. Although I do edit videos for my my new Life Resolution YouTube channel. So I've also been known to edit those with a PowerDirector on my Pixel phones, or I've used iMovie before on my iPad. So, but. And they do okay. I mean, it just depends on what you're trying to do. I've also used LumaFusion, I think. But, in the past, I used OpenShot. Last time I checked it out, it was still crashier than hell. Where I get most of the way through the video, and because I'm an idiot and didn't hit the save button, the damn thing would crash and I'd lose all my edits. So, and there's some will say, well, just try Blender. I'm like, well, when it takes me like hours to set up the fucking editing environment in Blender, no. You know, I mean, that's no. As much as I want to use open source for that stuff, it's just not in the cards right now. As much as I want to, I don't want to pay Adobe money, you know, because I do have other things I'd like to do with my money. But right now, that's just what I use. So, you know, and the dark table would be fine, but one of the problems is say I want to go buy a new camera when it just came out, right? And say for some reason Sony, if I stick with Sony, or I'd either go Sony or Nikon, probably. I don't think I'd go to Canon. But say they changed their RAW format and now Darktable can't fucking edit it. You know, that's part of the problem. You know, and it can be years before the new RAW format, if there's a change to it. Now, fortunately, there really haven't been that many changes in the recent years, but it can and has happened. So it's kind of why I stick to it, because I need something reliable. But, you know, it's just a frustration I have with Linux and open sources. You know, for what, the 2000s, like right around the time that this show started, desktop Linux was getting a metric ass ton of attention. And now that it's gotten towards a kind of stabilization point, now the focus seems to be more on cloud and system administration automation and things of that nature, because that stuff really makes them money. Desktop Linux doesn't make Red Hat, Ubuntu, or any of these companies that actual companies that have it money. Now then, of course, there's projects like Manjaro, you know, and Arch. You know, those are open source projects. They're not making money off those. So, yeah, and that's why you know, if I didn't have to do that stuff, editing pictures and stuff like that, I wouldn't care. On a daily basis, I could live with it. When I retire, I could probably live with Linux. You know, for the majority of the things I do, but not at the moment. That said, I love it. I do love Linux. Like I use my Raspberry Pi quite a bit every week. It's I've got that and my old Surface sitting on my desk, and I actually use the Raspberry Pi more than the Surface.
Is the Surface running Windows or Linux?
It's still running Windows, mostly because there really hasn't been a great translation for the Surface Pen, in my opinion. Granted, it's been a while, you know, and when I get if I got this Mac, then I'd probably keep that the Windows machine I'm currently using as my backup machine, and then I might try putting Linux on the Surface just for the hell of it. But I'll be right back. I got to run down the restroom.
To the rest, you got to get a urinal installed in your office, like Joe has.
When did I install that?
No, I thought he just peed in the sump pump.
Pee in the sump pump. Wait, you have a sump pump in your garage?
No.
Oh, I have a sump pump in the basement, but I don't pee in it. That'd be crazy.
And yes, stinky. It would be crazy.
Yeah. I'll tell you, though.
I'll tell you, next time I go use the restroom, I just won't mute the mic.
And then Joel will say, is that your sump pump?
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Love it.
Oh, so yeah. I've been working 14-hour days for a little while now because we had an issue come up, but I did get a little bit of work in on the Proxmox machine. Well, I tried anyway. I did get Audio Bookshelf working on there easy enough, and network share passed to it so that it had access to all my audio files. So there's that. But I tried passing the graphics portion of the APU through. And so that way, like, one of my VMs would be able to output to a screen. And failed miserably. Well, it tries to pass it through. Like, you can see for a second the screen, just there's artifacting and noise all the way across it.
Uh-huh.
And then it stops trying to push that through. My assumption is that it's got to be some kind of driver issue. But when I look up everything, the lib drivers are installed. It should be working just fine.
All right.
Whew. You all right there?
Yeah, well, it's up and downstairs, man.
And LSPCI sees the graphics that are passed through, which is the Intel 530s, I think. Hold on. Yeah. Intel, HD graphics 530. So I don't know why it's not pushing it through.
That's weird. Usually Intel's pretty solid on Linux.
Well, this is Proxmox and me passing...
okay.
Passing, you know, just the graphics portion through to a VM, and then me trying to output from the VM to the desktop or to a monitor, to a display. So it takes a little bit of finagling, and evidently I haven't finagled it correctly.
I gotcha.
And I even found a write-up of somebody else that had done it with the exact same processor, but it was on a Dell system. So I tried using their setup and got nothing.
Interesting.
So is it the virtual machines that won't come through on it, or
the display, like, or Proxmox itself will output to the display when it boots up.
Uh-huh.
And before, it would do the whole command line login thing. And then after I set up the VM, I can see it grab the screen. One time I even saw, like, the Linux Mint logo come up for a second, and then it did that whole artifacting and a big blur on the screen and then was gone. And then after that, that was all I could get, and that was after, like, forcing the drivers to reload and rebooting the entire system.
So you're the just trying to have one of the screens go to that, right?
I only have one screen hooked up to this Proxmox machine,
okay.
And it was specifically so that I could test this. I mean, really, you don't need a monitor hooked up to a Proxmox.
Right.
So I hooked it up because I just wanted to test that pass-through functionality, because I was thinking about putting Proxmox on another machine that I'm planning on using as a set-top box. So if I can do that, then I would have two Proxmoxes set up. And my set-top box in the living room, you know, once in a while it actually gets used. So the rest of the time I could have it doing other things.
Just like my TV finally got some use today in my office. I have a 43-inch TV in my office, and the idea was I'd use it for playing games and stuff on it. Like, I got my Atari 800s plugged into it. So is my Apple IIc.
Why not use it as a monitor?
Well, I could. Part of the problem is I would need some sort of thing to break out the HDMI. Because I think I've got every HDMI port taken up in it with devices plugged into it, like my Switch is plugged into it too.
Mm.
But The other is it's just too far over. You know, there's no way I could read it from the seated position anyway.
Okay.
I can definitely watch something on it though, which I did this morning. And nice thing I like about that is I can just use my phone and the Bluetooth headphones to the phone and have the TV be silent while I'm watching whatever it is. So
you can't have the rest of the house hearing all that porn you watch.
Well, no, they just don't want to hear anything. it seems.
Let alone the porn.
It's like why I never fight my son when he wants to drive down to Knoxville by himself, because that lets me listen to podcasts the whole 6 hour trip down when I'm driving by myself. You know, now that's of course going to be different when we go drive down to Baton Rouge in May, because we'll have a whole car full of people. So. Plus, I think we're getting the vehicle from Hertz, and it's either going to be hopefully a Suburban or a Ford Expedition, which I guess whichever one they have when I get there. But it's got to be a bigger SUV. It can't be, something the size of mine wouldn't work. Now, if I can't convince the wife to let me trade what I have in on something bigger. What could either be something bigger or something that could tow stuff so I can rent a U-Haul to put everybody's stuff in to tow behind it. You know, because my Traverse is a two-wheel drive. It's not the all-wheel drive version. It's a two-wheel drive version, and its towing capacity is only 1,500 pounds, plus I'd have to have the dealership install a hitch because there's no hitch hookups on it. You can do it. I'd rather have the dealership do it, considering it's still under warranty and I don't want to fuck that up, you know? But that's about counting cost of the hitch and labor. It's about $700 right there. So, so what we just chose, we're going to rent this Suburban. That should help fit everything in it. Because my son insists on taking 8 fucking bowling balls when he goes to these things. But one thing we're going to have to work on him especially, my wife less so, is how much shit he takes. We were down in Cincy for 2 days, and he had a big giant suitcase just packed full of shit. And I'm like, you need 2 changes of clothes, maybe a third just in case you fuck something up, right? And that's it. Why did you take that much stuff? I had everything I needed for the weekend in an overnight bag. And it's even better now that I lost so much weight, because now my clothes aren't as big anymore, so I can put more stuff in it, you know. And that's going to be critical when we add 2 extra people, because there's 2 people that are going to ride with us that he's bowling with in this national event. So, we can't fill the whole back of the Suburban because we have to have room for their stuff too. So, like, when I go down there, I'm planning on taking – I probably won't take an exact set of clothes I would need for the every day of that trip, mostly because we're staying in a Vrbo that's got a freaking washer and dryer. So I can wash my clothes. So I can take less. So that way, I leave room for other people in the car. But my wife and my son, do you think that's going to happen? So you can tell the person who used to travel for business and the ones that never do. But that'll be a good trip. But since he was good, though, I found some birch beer. We were talking about that in pre-show down there. That was nice. I picked up one of those Dubai chocolate bars. Have you seen those? I know I talked to Dan earlier this week about it. Have you ever seen those, Joe?
No, I can't say as I have.
They're pretty viral. It's basically Knoffel, or I'm trying to think how you pronounce the type of, it's phyllo dough that they toast, you know, so they basically will toast it using a little butter in a frying pan, right? And then they mix it with pistachio cream and tahini. And that's the filling inside the chocolate bar. And the bars, if you buy them, it was started by this chocolate company, apparently only in Dubai, and it was really damn expensive. But since then, it's still freaking expensive, but there's other companies that have been making it. B-Max is the one that made the one that I have. And it's also $18 for one bar. But I know how you could make it at home. But it's delicious.
The bar for $18?
It's not the size of, like, say, a regular, not even the size of one of those big block Hershey bars. It's definitely on the bigger side, and it's about a half inch thick. So it's because it's you know, it's got to have room for the filling, you know. So but it's got in that bar, it's got like four blocks. Each is about 140 calories per each of those blocks. It's pretty rich. So it's not something you would eat on an everyday thing, you know, but I wish I had the paper wrapper. I'd tell you how much it weighed, but I don't. Let me Google it and see if I can tell. But if you see them, it's definitely worth a shot. I know they're on Amazon, but I'd only get it if you just happen to see one at a store somewhere. I wouldn't bother with it ordering it on Amazon. I don't know if it's worth $18. But I think it is worth attempting to make it on your own. I might do that. Because I know where to get all the stuff. Oh, it's 7.5 ounces. So it's decent size bar. And different. And I think that's what I appreciate about that. So... another find I found at Jungle Gyms was I found some maple bacon jam. I love to put that on burgers. It's so good on a burger. And I found bacon hot sauce. And that's delicious.
Sounds tasty.
Yep. I just got to get some chicken fingers to really try it. I guess I could put it on anything, though. Eggs. It'd probably be good on eggs.
Wait, maple bacon? Wait, what is it?
Well, two different things. Maple bacon jam.
Right.
Right. And then bacon hot sauce.
Oh, bacon hot sauce. I thought you were talking about the maple bacon jam. The maple bacon hot sauce jam?
The maple bacon jam on eggs. On chicken fingers.
Kind of weird.
Or eggs. Yeah, that would be weird on that. But I do it. I put them on like a cheeseburger. That's delicious on that. In fact, I've got some burgers in my freezer. I should do that for. Maybe I should do that for lunch instead of eating a sandwich tomorrow. Although I would probably do it on my little Foreman grill just because I don't feel like running in and out and firing up the pit boss just for lunch. Although I have done that before. When it's warmer out, I do that because it's not so bad leaving the cover off. And of course, oh, they had Cause they have more than food too. Like they had like a whole bunch of different things. Like it had a La Crusette pans and stuff that you can buy. It had a whole section of nothing but Lodge cast iron and coffee vessels and making machines and stuff like that. But one interesting thing I found was they had a section of like plasticware, and I found a pitcher that literally looks like the old school gallon Tupperware pitchers, you know, the kind with the little push button thing on the top to open it. And I found a salt and pepper shaker that looks like the Tupperware ones from the 70s, which I've always liked. So I bought a set of those too. They're a little different. They, instead of the lids being the same color as the part that holds the salt and pepper, the lids are red. So a little bit different, but it literally is almost identical to in look to those original Tupperware things. And they were pretty cheap too, like $10 for the pitcher, maybe $6 for the salt and pepper shakers. But it's one of those places that if you're ever near Cincinnati, it's definitely worth checking out Jungle Jim's International Market. There's actually two of them. There's one in the Fairfield area of Cincy, and then there's one in the South End, which I'm trying to remember where that one's at. And for me, it's close enough. If I wanted to drive down in a day, I could do that. And I should do that. Go get me some birch beer.
Yeah, you should just mail it right down to me.
It's good, ain't it, man?
I love birch beer, and I can't.
And when you haven't had it in years, you're like, oh.
I tried to make it, and it's
not the same.
And well, it's hard to find the birch beer extract to begin with,
right?
I don't know why it's so challenging to find. I have some, but you know, I was making it with natural carbonations, and then you end up with a slightly alcoholic birch beer. and you have to be careful because it goes from zero to exploding out of the bottle really fast.
But you got that, and I can get birch beer now, and I actually down in Knoxville, there's a Yoder's Country Store that has it too. So I probably, if I have the time, like this past Christmas, I didn't have the time to run over there to get any. One thing you have down there, Dan, that I miss is the ginger ale at Colonial Williamsburg is delicious.
I didn't know they had a ginger ale at Colonial Williamsburg.
Oh, they do. They have root beer. They have root beer,
remember,
too.
Remember, man, I've only been there twice. And that was a long time ago. I mean, I was there this past weekend, but I wasn't actually there. I drove past it.
See, okay, the original location of Jungle Jim's is in Fairfield, Ohio, and that's the best one, in my opinion. But they have another location in the south, in the Eastgate section of Cincinnati. So it's definitely worth the trip if you're in that area.
Is it the King's Arms Tavern Ginger Ale?
I think so.
I've made ginger beer. I made ginger bug, which I love. That stuff is delicious. I love it. But I should make some of that, but that's a lot of sugar.
It is.
It's still good.
Yep.
Makes Joe cry. It's too much sugar, man.
Sugar. I got
I got it to work.
Oh, at least you did?
For now. Cool. Oh, now it went all fuzzy again.
Bummer.
What'd you have to do to get to work?
Well,
adjusted the grub, and it worked. It worked for a minute.
For 2 seconds.
Yeah, like the Linux Mint logo popped up, and then now it's doing this fuzzy crap again. So
bummer.
Is that the display manager now taking over? That's causing that problem.
I'm not sure.
Bummer.
If you switch to another console, can you just get the a console screen up, or is it borked the whole way? Like control.
Previously, the console was coming up really easy. Okay. Like the console screen, and now it took a minute, but now it is up again. So no VNC is working on it.
Nice.
Well, no VNC was working on it before, but I can't get it to maintain its output to a monitor. So I'm able to access it over the web, but I'm not able to access it on a monitor.
Well, I think I'm going to order some more First Form stuff. They just brought out a new isolate protein called Magical Charms. Guess what that's supposed to taste like?
Fruity Pebbles?
No, I'm assuming Lucky Charms.
Cocoa Puffs.
No, I'm assuming Lucky Charms.
Did you ensure...
Captain Crunch.
What were you saying there, Dan?
Did you ensure that you enabled VT-D?
Oh, there you go.
In your BIOS, and you checked for SRIOV if it's available on your motherboard?
No, I have not gone into the BIOS, but I should have. I haven't gone into the BIOS since I started trying to do this. But last time I went into the BIOS, I made sure everything was available and turned on. And if it's coming through for a few seconds at startup, makes me wonder if it's something with the VM itself.
Could be. It's like why I had to fuck around for 15 to 20 minutes to get Mumble to work on my laptop every freaking week. I don't know what's going on. Maybe I need to switch to the GNOME version of Manjaro. Instead of a KDE, at least then I have a known sound driver. Because I've chosen. Well, ALSA is always there, Pulse Audio is there, but I've also used Pipewire. And that seems to also kind of work sometimes too. I don't know what the freaking combination I used this week, but I've fucked around with it and finally got it to work again. It's like, damn it. But no, I kind of want to get that Formula One protein powder because they just put up a recipe today for making Rice Krispie treats with it for a pre-workout deal.
Well, you could, you know, probably use any protein powder and use that recipe come out fine.
True. But I may also order instead of the normal one, which is your typical like protein shake kind of consistency, is they have a clear one too now. Which is and these are the ones like I would drink like post workout in the shake form. But the clear one, they have a watermelon flavor. And these are the fast assimilation proteins, unlike the one I currently have, which is level one, is the slow assimilation protein that will keep you, it basically processes more like real food. So it takes longer to digest than most isolate proteins. So And the one I have now is Red Velvet, and it's delicious. It doesn't have any pieces of cake in it, though.
Wait, what? It has pieces of cake in it?
No, I was saying it doesn't.
Oh.
Because some of the, like, if you get some of the ghost protein powders, like the Nutter Butter or the Oreo, they've got little pieces of cookie in it. They don't do that kind of stuff at First Form. They don't need to. That's gimmicky. I want to get that. I want to get some of their Ignite too, which is for a post-workout. Yeah. Murph says, Weiss White Diet Birch Beer is awesome. I've never known birch beer to be white, but I have seen it when I was there. I don't have a Weiss yet either, but Ohio got its first Wawa.
Where is it?
Nowhere. It's in Cincinnati.
Oh.
Nowhere near me. I wish it was, because they have good subs. But then so does Sheets, so I don't complain. And I like Jersey Mike's too, so it's yeah. My typical go-to at Jersey Mike's is a veggie sub, a mini veggie sub. It's a little bit under 500 calories for one sub. So later this week, I'm going to be signing up for my second 5K, the Aruna 5K.
Good for you, sir. When's that going to be?
It's June 14th. June 14th, which is like, let's see, the 14th. I need to see if I can get a calendar up at the same time, because that's the 14th, and then the 28th is when my first Mammoth March is. So, this year. So let's see, 2 weeks between that 5K and my first Mammoth March. So, of the year. Not my first attempted ever, but this time I'm fully intending on crushing it. Yesterday I tried to do one of my incline sessions. I've been doing 2-a-days, at least 3 days a week. I'll do two different either two different physical activities or two different workouts, depending on what you want to call it. Like, not today. I do two things almost every day, physical activity wise. But like today was just a treadmill run, and then I went for a walk. And then when I got back from the walk, I had to go get some gas in my vehicle. So since then, I went to. I was heading down there anyway. I went to Meijer and looked inside there, got some more Ghost Peaches flavor, and filled up the gas tank. And while I was there, finished off my steps for the day. So, but like Monday, I did treadmill in the morning, you know, a pretty flat run, you know, like for me, you know, I'm right up to about 4.7 mile in my faster intervals. When I come in, like Monday, I did legs. Tuesday, I did upper body. And Tuesday night, I decided that the second set of treadmill to finish out my steps was going to be an incline. And I went through the first incline interval that I wanted to do, 5 minutes max incline. And I go to lower the incline, a damn treadmill went lower. So I got another 2 minutes. I said, that's it. I got to stop because my knees were killing me at that point. But I'm trying to build up the intervals and do longer on those inclines. And this week, I blame my knee pain on the fact that Sunday I'm loading Luke's bowling balls into the car, and I backed up kind of like to turn around, and apparently I forgot to put that I put one of his bags like right behind where I was backing up, and I fell right over it, man. Fell on my ass in the parking lot.
Did it hurt?
Yeah, it hurt.
It's good for you. You know what they say, no pain, no gain.
It hurt, but it didn't really do anything to hold back my workout. So. And there's my link to that protein I'm probably going to order later this week.
No, I picked up, I know last time I mentioned that my hip was bugging me.
Oh, yeah?
I picked up some inversion boots.
Ah.
So, I can't tell if it's helping all that much or not, but it does cause my hip to pop. And
that's good.
Feels a little bit better, maybe, potentially.
And I don't know if I need probably a... should consider taking it more than once a day. But one thing about the collagen I've been taking is it's supposed to also help your joints too, which I think it kind of does, but you could take that up to twice a day. And I usually just drink it in my coffee in the morning, which is delicious. I don't know. Maybe I should do more to help my knees. My knees are the only part, and they don't, it's not.
Are you taking crap tons of creatine?
No, I'm not. I'm not taking. Yeah. No, I probably should. I'm looking at seeing what other stuff they have. Because one thing, good thing is, even if I buy stuff, I can get commission on the stuff I buy, so I can get some of my money back. in addition to whatever anybody else wants to purchase, but actually think about. Also buying a box of their protein bars, and then what I may do is I may like take the QR code for the bars and stick it on the back so I can see if I can't get some people to buy some of those. They're good. I like the protein bars. They're all good. But that Ghost Peaches, if you see that at the store there, Joe, grab a can and try it. It's pretty good for energy.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
I don't know if it's as well. I don't know, because I really like the Welch's one. That one was really good too. And you can at least find that easier. The peaches one, it's like as soon as they stock it on a shelf, it disappears.
Like Ghost is good for people with a sweet tooth.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's one of the sweeter tasting energy drinks. It doesn't have any sugar in it, but. It sort of tastes way better than like the old school ones, like the Green Monster or
Ghost's Orange Cream is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I like that one, the Dreamsicle one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say that if you like Bomb Pop flavor, the Scream of Freedom first form one is much better than the Ghost one. I've tried it; and it's pretty good. But, yeah, my goal for my next 5K is I just want to beat my first 5K's time. So I want to finish it in under 44 minutes.
That's a good goal.
So I've already done one under that on the treadmill. And not just flat treadmill either, I might add. I do run a hill program when I'm doing that. So, today's treadmill wasn't as good because I don't know, today I've been tired all damn day, and I think part of it might be I just went to bed way late last night, but so my treadmill workout was just off what I normally did, but the day before was really good. I mean, I still did 2.3 miles today, but the day before, I think I did, did I do 2.5 yesterday? Oh, no, wait. That was yesterday. I did 2.3. That's right. 2.3 yesterday, and I did 2.226 today. So I'm getting faster. You know, I'm pushing myself more. Trying to do the hill programs. I need to get out and trail soon. So hopefully might try and get that done this weekend. Next weekend, I'm working the crew game. To make some money for my mission trip. So there's that. And I got a meeting for the mission trip Sunday. Then it's going to be full on training for these races and the hike. The first one in June. Then I get the second one in August. So I'm more worried about the separation between the August and September Mammoth Marches, because it's just a month between the August and September, about a month ish. Might be a month and a half, I think, between those two. So, but I plan on hopefully, I want to try and get a 20-mile hike in before the first one, just so that I know that the distance wise I should be fine. So I've done 16. That's my current record. On a mostly flat ass trail too, unfortunately. And paved for a good chunk of it. Some of those have paved sections, but there's definitely a more natural than paved. Okay, so planning my next set of trail runners, because my current ones are the ones, the last pair of trail runners I had from last year. I want to get some barefoot shoes, though. Just not so much to run or hike in, but just if running around the house, or like if I'm just being casual, if you know what I mean, just to help strengthen my feet. So,
yeah, some people say they're good for you.
That's what they say. I know Dan's a big fan of barefoot shoes.
I do like a minimalist shoe. I do like walking around in barefoot.
I don't know if I'm going to go the Vibram Five Fingers route, though.
You know, I never tried the Vibram Five Fingers, but
they're expensive.
I would wonder about how comfortable they are in...
They even have trail versions of those too.
Right, and I've seen that, but I'm like, is it a flexible material that it's not going to like crush your toes, so to speak, or?
I would think so.
I mean, I guess it. I mean, people like them, so I don't
see,
know.
Like the V Run, let's see, are these the? Those aren't trail, those are road. But the men's V Run Vibram Five Finger shoes are $140. The V Trek trail hiking shoe is $139.
Is that a Vibram?
Yeah, V-Trek? Vibram. Yeah. Yeah, they have like looks like a mid rise on it, so it's not a low like a shoe. It's more like a boot. See, I don't think I could do a trail on those. There's a link to those.
You order them directly from them?
No, it's from Amazon.
I'm always leery about like ordering like shoes or something online.
Yeah.
I will if I've, like, for example, I know Ultras, my 10.5 and Ultras are fine for me. And if I can't find a 10.5 and 11 will also work. My current Lone Peak 7s are 11s. I know my next trail shoes, I'm going to order 10.5.
It used to be that, you know, an 11 was an 11.
Right.
But yeah, anymore, yes. Even with, like, it, within the same brand, just getting different styles of shoes.
Yeah.
It's that.
Well, with trail shoes, I've always wanted to order a half size larger than I needed. Since I've lost weight, I don't need to do that anymore. Because my regular my road shoes are all 10.5, and I have plenty of room at the front, so I'm not worried about, you know, sucking up my nails. So. But I'm debating, you know, I was starting to think about my next trail shoes might be me ordering trail shoes with a thicker stack so I feel the rocks and the tree roots a lot less. But I might not. I think my feet are getting stronger the more I'm punishing them, you know? And my legs definitely are. So I may stick with the Lone Peaks and get the 8s. Probably the Lone Peak 8s are now starting to lower in price because they Ultra just brought out the 9s. And I do like all the Ultra shoes I have. I love them. Some more than others. The Olympus ones I have are good. I'm currently wearing the Forwards. I'm trying to remember the orange ones. My orange ones I have that I got given to me. Those are the ones I've been wearing this week, and I do like those a lot. The Torrens I don't like as much for some reason. I'll wear them, but I don't like running in them as much. Fine for walking. But now here, the Five Fingers V Alpha Trail Shoe is only $74. But those are ones I might, if I buy Five Fingers, I may try and get them at a shoe store because I have no idea how they fit my feet. And I guess I could probably just wear my toe socks when I go to try them on, which I do like those. And I'll wear those with any of the shoes I use. I get Ingenies and some cheap Chinese brand. Aoni, or I don't know how to say the brand that I have on the other ones, but I do like those, and they do, if I got a lot of walking to do, they do seem to help with blisters, so I'll probably wear those for my hiking. These actually look pretty sweet, and they're cool color too.
Boom. Oh yeah. Gotta update my machines this week.
Anywho.
Slacking. You using Slackware yet, Joel?
You guys there?
Wait, what happened?
Yeah, we're here. Can you hear us?
Ah, damn it.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Joel?
I can hear you.
Oh, I'm asking Joel. What? You know what, Joe? I want to ask you. No, that wasn't you. That was Joel who said he was losing his network connectivity.
Yeah.
Maybe, and I'm assuming that's his work laptop, not his laptop that he's currently using now. But how does he lose his
audio? Usually it means that he has an audio device that's disconnecting and reconnecting.
That's just weird. Oh. I saw this. Let me see if I still have it, because I was kind of interested in it. There's an article about Starship Prompt, and it was about customizing this tool to help Starship to help customize your prompt in your shell. Although it says it's a shell replacement. How do you feel? Like, what shell do you use?
Just bash. Whatever's built in.
Because I know, like, I purposely switch back to bash on OS 10. Two or three releases ago. I forget which release it was. They went from bash to ZSH. And like, I'm not opposed to ZSH or whatever, but the thing is, I know for a while, like, Fish was a huge shell. Everybody was praising Fish.
I did try Fish for a little while.
Yeah, and the problem I have with using anything other than, like, bash is, like, 99% of the systems that I interact with all have bash, not necessarily have ZSH or Fish or anything else installed. So you start, it's just like, I never really got into doing aliases for commands. Like, people, I work with people who are using aliases all the time, and I'm like, you know, then when I get down to a system
where you don't have all the control.
Yeah. And then I'm like, well, then now I gotta, you know, if I spend all my time running things with aliases, so.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying there.
Not
because I've thought about doing the same thing, because I have used some aliases, but it'll be for very, very specific commands. Like, for a while, I was using them for specific fuse mount commands, SSHFS commands. Just so, you know, I could type in one thing and have it done.
Right.
But that was only for those niche situations on specific machines. Mm-hmm. So that way I didn't have that problem when I went to other machines.
You know, I watch people have so many shortcuts and aliases set that when it comes time that they don't have the exact shortcut or alias to do what they need to do,
they don't know what they're doing anymore.
Then it comes to, like, it comes to a crashing hole, and I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? This is so, like, it's not, like, you're saving yourself 3 or 4 seconds. But then you're lost when you can't use, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. I'm, like I said, I used to use aliases for very, very specific things, but now I don't even do that anymore.
Yeah.
Of course, you can always just use exclamation point and then the number of the first time you typed in that command that it worked.
Oh yeah, I use that with some. I find myself, it's a toss up between doing the like history and looking for it in my history, or just doing the Control R. I'll do Control R a lot and start typing, although. If I'm doing a lot of Git commands, sometimes that gets to be a pain in the butt because you actually have to keep typing it all the way out to once it gets a little different. And although then if you do, like,
well, couldn't you just create, like, a variable then for a temporary variable to run that portion of the command?
Well, I tend to Like, if I have to update 20 repos, what I'll typically do is I'll do a git pull : git checkout the branch : and well, it'll start with the git checkout main, then git pull, and then git checkout the branch, just to make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be. And then I'll just do the control R to bring that back up if I need to in the other window. So like, then it's going to be make my changes and then, you know, git commit or git add and git commit with the message and then git push that branch. And like,
git commit murder? That's a good book.
Yeah, git commit
murder. You should read it. Have you read it?
No, I haven't. Is it funny?
Yeah.
Is it a murder mystery? You know, I heard of that.
I believe it is.
Who wrote
that? It's been a while. It's a long time since I read it. I think there was even a sequel, and I sure as heck haven't read the sequel.
Oh, man. It's a crime mystery. Why do I think I did read this, or...
I might have told you about it forever and a day ago. Who knows?
Yeah, this is... I've heard of it. Anyway, I use...
Stupid thing.
I use...
Don't talk to me like that. That's rude.
Control R and the exclamation point all a lot, and I find them very helpful. What's going on there, Joel?
That mumble decided to vomit on me. Yay.
What are you running over there?
Michael Warren Lucas.
Michael Warren Lucas.
He's the author of Git Commit Murder.
Is that only in electronic format? Is there a printed book? I don't remember.
I just finished reading a book.
Yes, there is a paperback version of it.
Hardcover, paperback, yeah. Interesting.
And there is a sequel, Git Sync Murder.
Git Sync Murder.
Yeah, that sounds fun. I just finished a book, Quiet the Noise. It's a trail runner's path. Oh, shoot. Dang on. Can't read this title. Trail runner's path to something with God. I'm trying to remember the damn title. It's basically the guy that wrote this is talking about how he finds his peace with God when he's doing trail running. And the guy that wrote the book, he's trained and done many ultra trail runs, including a 50-miler and a one. And he's training for a 100-miler. So it was a good book. Short, which is also good. Yeah, I might have to see about getting a different headset. Some reason every once in a while this
man. What headset is it?
It's a Logitech H600.
How's it connect?
USB.
It's not wireless.
It is wireless, but it's a USB dongle. Mm. It'll do Bluetooth, but I tried the Bluetooth and it sounds fucking awful.
Yeah, I've only found one headset that actually sounds good over Bluetooth.
My OpenShock does. I mean, I use the OpenShock OpenCom for work, and it works fine.
Oh, I meant on Linux. You can find that. Several that will work pretty good on Windows.
Or Mac, that are Bluetooth, right?
Or Mac. But very few that will work good on Linux. And I have found exactly one.
I agree. I may look at just getting one that's just straight up USB wired.
Those usually come out well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's the wireless thing of this. I think it's just that Manjaro just hates me right now.
Well, that's understandable.
I know.
I mean, that Manjaro hates you.
I'm not disagreeing. I will say this, though. Windows isn't without its audio foibles. I run into them with my Windows setup that I use for the iTech Gear Weekly. Mostly because I tend to run a little bit more complicated setup with them because I'm like the sound guy. So like if we want to like play a stupid sound effect or something, I got my Elgato Stream Deck set up for that. Which does work on Linux. I have got it to work on Linux. It does work. In fact, in some cases, it runs better on Linux because you can do even more with it. The only thing I've found on the Linux software for the Elgato Stream Deck is not quite as flexible of what images you put on the buttons. I mean, you probably could put any like PNG or JPEG on it, but it's a little more difficult because the software's not quite as nice as what Elgato does on the Mac or Windows. But it does work, and they have other ones too. They're starting to make really big ones too, like ones that are rack mountable, stuff like that, which those are all interesting to me. And essentially really all they are is macro keyboards is what they, all they really are. They're nothing special.
Yeah.
You know, kind
macro
of reminds,
keyboards with pretty pictures.
Yep. Yep. Basically, like the remember when they were bringing out the Optimus keyboard? I trying to that's not the full name of it.
Well, that was why I was building my
Art
own
Lebedev, that's
like,
what it was.
Hotkey keyboards there for a while.
Art Lebedev. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forget. Yeah, the Optimus keyboard. Optimus Maximus keyboard. Where each key is an OLED display. It costs thousands of dollars.
Oh, we gotta wrap this up.
Yeah, we do. Bed.
You gotta get your steps in.
No, those are in for the day.
All right.
I'm gonna go eat me some Skinny Pop for a snack.
Cool. You do that.
I can have 3 cups and it's only 150 calories.
Good for you, sir. All right. I'm going to play this out. Thank you very much. We'll see you in a week. You have Thank a great y'all. One. Here we are.
I am short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up.
Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Are you making egg foo young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
I've been making me some grilled sandwiches for lunches in my cast iron.
Your Foreman grill.
No, cast iron. My large cast iron fry pans. I love those things.
I use them mostly every day. I use one of them.
I got, what, I think they call it the, I forget what the numbers mean, the 12-inch one, but that's not the number that the Lodge calls it.
What?
Yeah, it's got a weird, like, the number 10. There's a different, it's a 12-inch one, but there is a different number stamped into it.
Plain Greek yogurt is so challenging around here. I don't know why.
Like, it can be.
They'll have the plain fat free, and I'm like, I don't want the fat free. I want the plain whole milk Greek yogurt. I can get
vanilla
whole milk Greek yogurt and three different choices of fat free Greek yogurt, but just plain Greek yogurt. I don't know why that is. That and large curd cottage cheese.
Actually, we usually have the large curd and not the small curd.
That is like the opposite here, because we have, like, there's one brand that has large curd, and then there's like four other brands that only have small curd. And I'm like, why? Why can't we have whole milk fat-free, non-fat Greek yogurt and large curd cottage cheese?
Well, Greek yogurt is usually higher in protein and lower in fat because more of the liquid is removed.
But we don't need to remove all the fat. I want the just the plain Greek yogurt, not the non-fat.
I feel terrible for you. I'm quite happy that the fat-free stuff's on the shelf. No, but Walmart just they're a great value brand. At least here, they just got their small curd, fat-free cottage cheese.
Oh, wait, did you say they only have small curd, fat-free cottage cheese?
With the Great Value brand, they just got that. I don't know if they have the large curd with the Great Value brand of cottage cheese as well, just not the fat-free.
See, we don't, with the cottage cheese, like, okay, so, like, I usually get my Greek yogurt either at Lidl or Aldi because they have it, and it's fine. But that's a ways down the road. Like, the closer grocery stores, all they have are the fat-free Greek yogurt that's plain, not just the non-fat, how do you say, just a regular full-fat Greek yogurt.
There you go, full-fat's the word.
There we go. We'll go with just a full-fat Greek yogurt. And then with the cottage cheese, like, there's one, like, everywhere I go, there is Breakstones is the only one that has large curd cottage cheese, and it's the full-fat cottage cheese. Whereas there's a gazillion small curd in both the full fat and the low fat and the non fat. I guess you can't have non fat. Can you? Like, it's just like low fat. You can have non fat cottage cheese?
Yeah, it just tastes like ass.
I've never seen large curd in any of that variety other than the Breakstones is the only one I've ever been able to find that has large curd around here.
It's missing a lot of flavor.
Yeah, all of it, right?
All of it. It's very cardboard-esque. Now, with the fat-free Greek yogurt, though, it's usually a little bit tart, and that's nice.
God, I wanted to start up my browser, and I was typing in Mozilla, and I'm like, Mozilla, what the hell? I saw a tech support post that the person who received it was trying to help somebody with the web browser problem, and they found out that the person was using Netscape.
Okay. And, what is this, 1998?
And they were like, And like a lot of people were kind of like, I didn't even know you could get Netscape to run on a modern computer.
Right?
A modern OS. I'm like, where the hell did they come from?
Right? Where do you even pull that from? I thought it was like embedded in what ME and 98 and XP for a while.
I would not be surprised if this was somebody who like is still running one of those on top of it. Although, could you? God, what could you? Could you connect to the internet with Windows 98 these days?
Probably not without a lot of driver installs. I mean, you'd have better luck with XP.
And the moment you get on, you're compromised, right?
Yeah. Before you even get on, you're compromised because you're probably, you know, just bypassing that whole registration with Microsoft process. And I know there's a way to do it with the registry, and it's well documented, but is somebody that's running Windows 98 going to look that up? Or XP going
to
look that up?
Or even know to look that up? Joel probably would. He's running Windows 3.1.1 for the funds.
Yeah, but he's running it on a Commodore, so it balances out.
There you go. You know, I remember when I got my Gateway computer after I graduated high school. Graduated college. My dad bought me a Gateway computer, a 486, and it came with Windows 3.11 for work groups on floppy disk, like 12 of them. Oh, hold on. Hello?
And then there was one.
Dun, 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 dun. What's Joel doing in the audio test room?
Probably wondering why his audio is broken.
How does he have it broken every week?
That's a good question.
Is he actually using Linux or is he using Windows over there? Inquiring minds want to know.
I would probably talk some smack if he was on a Linux podcast running Windows.
Okay, this is 1,090. God, we're almost to 1,100. Ooh, 10 more episodes. Will we make it? Or will the world explode?
Well, at least America.
Oh, man. Have
you been keeping an eye on the Dow?
The Dow De Ching or the one that's going down? Down.
Yeah, that one.
Down. Yeah.
I didn't see how much it was down today. I was kind of afraid to look. I know it was down like 500 yesterday.
Where's Murph? Why isn't Murph around?
Because he knows that if he jumps on now, we will ask him to join us because we're shorthanded.
With the Yates. I hope his mother-in-law is going to be okay.
Yeah. I guess the Dow didn't go down much further today. Only 85 points.
All right, let's see here. Maybe Joel fell asleep in the audio test room because I don't see anything going back and forth. Do you actually have to be in the room?
You have to be in the room to see it go blue. So.
Oh, my goodness.
So what you been up to?
Well, I started a community leadership class last night that's put on by the Hampton government, local government. So that was pretty interesting. Talking about neighborhood organizations and starting those and stuff. So that was pretty cool. Other than that, it's just been we've been driving around on the weekends, kind of looking at houses and having the big discussions about
leaving the country.
Oh my God, I can't believe what's going on. But no, we were looking for houses and
Canada.
No, Williamsburg area and in Hampton. And what was it? My wife was like kind of making a comment. It's like it's kind of been dry these past couple of weeks. There haven't been a lot of postings and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, but we're also limiting ourselves to only two towns, and in both of those towns into very specific areas. I mean, we love Hampton, but the problem with Hampton is that a lot of it is under sea level, and you don't want to buy a house that's under sea level because
so finally
water
looking for a house,
huh?
Finally looking for a house, huh?
Oh yeah, we've been looking for a couple of weeks now, just seeing what's out there. So, I mean, we've identified a bunch of neighborhoods that we really like. We almost pulled the trigger on one. We were getting really close, and then somebody snatched it up because the moment we saw it, we fell in love with it. But Joel, you'll know the area a little bit. We're interested in particularly the Towano area of Williamsburg. So
okay,
for like the past 2 months, I have spent almost every weekend in Williamsburg area, driving through Williamsburg.
And that area ain't cheap either.
You know what? Surprisingly, it's not that expensive, comparatively speaking.
Depends what you're talking about,
right? So, what you know? I said this to my wife. I'm like, we now are getting a lot more familiar with Williamsburg, and we tend to go up the back way instead of taking the highway, which is Richmond Road, and Richmond Road cuts right through the center of Williamsburg, and it kind of goes around the back of Colonial Williamsburg. And so you've been to Colonial Williamsburg, right, Joel?
Absolutely.
And I've been to the main part of Colonial Williamsburg, and I said to my wife on Sunday when we were driving through there, I'm like, we've lived here almost 20 years, and I've only been to Colonial Williamsburg twice, and not once did we ever make it to this section that we have been driving through the back of these past couple of weekends.
So you're looking for a house or like a townhouse or a condo or
no, we're looking for a house kind of on the outskirts, like Tawano's the northwestern part of Williamsburg, and something with like
I'm looking through Zillow, some of these places. Whew.
Yeah, not those places. Like we've found right. Some more reasonably priced ones, but something with like a third or more to an acre of land, because we like to do gardening and stuff. So we've been looking, and we there's a couple places in Hampton, a couple of sections of Hampton, but we're leery about staying. The only thing we're leery about staying in Hampton is most of Hampton is like right below sea level, and
yeah, get flooded,
hurricane
and
all that stuff. So we kind of want to be outside of the flood areas, and there's some really nice places in Hampton too. But
yeah, there are.
Anyway, gotta get the show started.
just saw an article Stevie J Von Nichols posted. What is it about?
I thought you were going to tell me Stevie Von J Nichols passed away.
No, he's doing good. I know his house had some damage from Helene, but I think they're back in it, if I remember right. Linux Foundation's latest partnership could shake up the open source ecosystems, and here's why.
Who's the partnership with?
With the Open Infra.
I'm not familiar with them at all. What is Open Infra?
They're the ones, I think it's the new name for what was originally OpenStack.
Oh,
okay. Oh no, it was started as the OpenStack Foundation. Oh my god. Balls in a butthole. God dang it.
Be singing that all week.
I meet my balls. Guess what I'm drinking, Dan?
Balls?
No, birch beer. When we went down to Cincy, we went to that Jungle Gyms, and they had a birch beer in Jungle Gyms, so I got 2 12s.
Cost what?
It costs like $8 per pack for 12.
Birch beer?
Nope, it's Pennsylvania Dutch.
Oh, well, is it Pennsylvania Dutch birch beer, or is it...
Yeah, Pennsylvania Dutch birch beer, the diet version.
Oh, is that kind of... Is it yellow?
Yes.
Yellow and, like brown or red or something?
Yeah, yellow, and then it has that Pennsylvania Dutch heart, you know, with the two birds on the top. Yeah, that one.
Holy moly, I haven't seen that in...
It's up in Pennsylvania, I know that much.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't seen that, and I can't remember how long ago. I know I used to get...
There's always... down at the pumpkin show, there's always a stand that has it, but it's always the one with the sugar in it. But, like, all I got to do is go down to they had AL8, too. They even had some of the sugar-free AL8, too, but... They wanted more, so it's like, since I always go through Kentucky, you know, because they wanted like $7 or $8 for a six pack at Jungle Gyms, but if I go down to Lexington area, then it's about $4 or $5, depending on where you go. It can be as low as $3.
What's the birch beer from Kutztown called?
I don't know.
I thought it starts with a K, but it's not Kutztown birch beer.
Maybe you're thinking of the mean Kunstler's.
No, it is Kutztown birch beer. Yeah, it is. I've seen, I think it's, there's the Pennsylvania Dutch birch beer. Yeah,
with the yellow and the heart. You can get it on Amazon, but it's fucking expensive. It's like $12. Not to mention the fact that I forget what shipping is.
Why? So there's Boylan's, Pennsylvania Dutch, Kutztown. I thought there was another one. Oh, Sioux City.
Well, I know like Giant and Polar Weiss both have their own version.
Oh yeah,
of it.
Yeah. I
is it
why you can't
is it Weiss or why? I have always said Weiss when I talk about the grocery store Weiss.
I've always said Weiss too. I've heard some people pronounce it Wise,
which is not right.
I always said Weiss. We should start the show.
Yeah.
1090.